All right, Fight fans, it's showtime. Out of the blue corner, this man really needs no introduction. He has a perfect record of 23 wins, no defeats. Standing 5'10", weighing in 185 pounds, training out of Greenville, North Carolina, Tyler Young Stully Stull. What's up, man?
Living the dream, sir. How about you?
Not bad. I like your perfect record of 23-0. How did you attain all those victories, by the way?
Mostly through illegitimate means, performance-enhancing candies, and, you know, just good old American cheating.
So today's guest for everybody is none other than Tyler Stull. Sorry for the Jimmy Lennon Jr. That's the best I got. Tyler, it's the first impression I've done on the podcast so far, so we'll see how that goes over.
It's pretty solid. It's not your best work, but I feel like your best performances are niche characters that most people aren't going to understand. it's going to be really hard for them to understand line cooks we worked with together in Greenville. I don't feel like that's a character that's going to develop very well. But your Jimmy Lynn Jr. Right. is pretty solid. You're usually pretty solid with head basketball coaches or head football coaches. Pretty solid. But Jimmy Lynn Jr. has always been one of your better works.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You know, I almost wanted to put you against Evander Holyfield because the only thing I feel like the first thing that caught my mind when I was doing Jimmy Lennon Jr. impersonations was he always did that, Evander, the real deal, Holyfield. And he also does the double name thing where he'll go like, Holyfield. Like, for whatever reason, he thinks he needs to do the last name twice. I don't understand it. Hey, so look, man, I appreciate you coming on the show today. I want to go over a couple things with you. I want to talk some MMA. I want to talk some NFL. But like I told you, the segment's going to be labeled Fun Facts with Tyler Stull. So we're going to do a fact or fiction at the end. And if you could just give a little bit of background about your fun facts, I don't know what you call it, your fun facts gimmick you used to do when we worked together back in the day.
Sure. So fun facts is something I just sort of heard, like a phrase. It's one of those weird things you might see in like a magazine or whatever, and I would have to go around and I had to train every new person that showed up at the restaurant because I don't know, I just had bad luck. And so the most awkward part of all this is I'm just stuck with these poor people who are only taking these jobs because they have to take a job in college, and I've introduced them to other coworkers and no one knows anything about themselves. And it's one thing to say like, all right, this is Bill, this is Joe. Guys, be friends. Like, that never works. But if you start off with a fun fact, like something unusual or weird about that person, it gives the other individual a talking point, right? So a very good one is to be like, all right, so this is Mike, and Mike once dunked a basketball in eighth grade. Like, everyone can talk about that. Like, that's really cool. You did this. Or, you know, here, this is Jenny. Jenny once dated 2 Chainz. Stuff like that is a weird fun fact that you only get to know after speaking with someone for months and months and knowing them a little bit.
And these are random references you're pulling, right? There's not really a Jenny that dated 2 Chainz at the restaurant, was there?
Not at the restaurant. I did know a Jessica who had a one-night stand with 2 Chainz in law school.
Okay, all right.
Yeah,
fair enough.
Yeah, no, Jessica, actually, she lived a really interesting life, but that's, you know, for another day.
Yeah, so that's probably not going to get her on if it's crazy interesting like that, because I do have a fairly young crowd that listens to some of the shows.
Let's edit that out then.
we're already going. I'm not cutting that. Hey, but something I wanted to do with you, man, like, so to help introduce you, I actually have some fun facts about Tyler Stull. Are you ready to hear them?
Let's see if any of them are true.
Oh, these are all 100% legitimate. You know me. Come on.
That's fair.
Okay. Fun fact. Tyler used to work at the UFC Black Zillions camp, where he sparred with UFC fighters. Graduated from Miami Law School. Practices the term, fair enough, sir, far too much. has arguably the worst jump shot I've ever seen in my life. He eats to live and does not live to eat. He accuses me of cheating in any contest I'm victorious in over him. And he also wears a singlet in public on off days from work. So that's what you got right there for your fun facts, man. That's all 100% legitimate.
All right, that's absolutely true, except the jump shot is the worst.
The singlet, wearing the singlet in public, for those of you that don't know what a singlet is, that's the wrestling uniform. He has an interesting choice in attire.
Preferably green or yellow. Those are two colors that generally, they set the bar pretty high.
They make your eyes pop.
Oh, thank you.
I wanted to get with, I want to talk a little MMA with you today, man, if you can. To see UFC 227, the Dillashaw Garbrandt rematch.
But, good fight. Fun fight for a short time.
Yeah. What'd you think about that? What'd you think about the fight? What's your takeaways from that, from the Garbrandt Dillashaw two?
Kind of went in and I just wanted to see two dudes. That's like the number one thing, right? And when I watch Cody Garbrandt before, like, I see a guy that's building up, he's getting better. I mean, his footwork's obviously very good, and for a guy that small, he's got some real pop in his hands. You know, he's one of the few guys at that weight that can put most people to sleep. It's just, you know, it's the dirty little secret of the lightweights is that no one really finishes a fight. But with Dillashaw, like, I always sort of thought of him as like a double leg 1-2, and that's kind of limited where he's at. You know, like, he's going to double leg you, grind you out, or he's going to hit you with like a straight right and kind of put you down, like a power puncher guy, and kind of limited. Right. But
yeah,
what I found so interesting is that he was sort of able to negate Garbrandt's show. He was sort of able to step in there and force Garbrandt to limit himself a little bit. And then when he hit him, like, Cody looked hurt. Like, in, I haven't seen a ton of that before he fought Dillashaw the first time. He definitely didn't see it against Dominic Cruz. Like, Cody put him down. I'm sorry, Cody was put down. And that was – it's just kind of fun to see because I don't particularly enjoy their brand of trash-talking at Team Alpha Male. Like, they came in and they said a bunch of mean things and accused – Dillashaw trying to end guys' careers and being a dirty fighter in practice and this, that, and the other. And, you know, they say that about everyone that doesn't work with them anymore. They come in and they say they're a bad guy or they're cheaters or, you know, they fight dirty, whatever. Like, at a certain point, you have to start wondering what's going on over there. So that was my favorite part, is seeing Cody Garbrandt, who's, you know, just a voluminous, if not interesting, trash talker, get put down by a guy who I think is just a better fighter, even though he's got kind of a limited skill set when you think about it.
It seems like it's turning into a little bit of a circus at Alpha Male now. They keep rotating through coaches. You know, Uriah Faber seems to be the mainstay there, and he seems like he's a good guy, but it does seem to follow the same kind of disruptive pattern. And it doesn't seem like they're very cohesive right now. It seemed like they were at their height when Ludwig was there as their head coach, but since he and Dillashaw left, they don't really have a guy to get behind that's really producing a ton of results other than Cody, and they don't really seem to have a clear direction, and it always seems to be kind of a lot of turmoil there. I thought the fight was good. I think TJ really showed his expertise, his footwork, when he added the kind of like Dominic Cruz mirror-like game with his footwork, where he's really mixing up stances and setting you up for strikes. I think that's when TJ clearly took off and was introduced in that first fight against Henan Barak. But I think right now where Dillashaw is, he's as high a level of bantamweight as we've seen. For those of you that don't know, bantamweight's the 135-pound division in the UFC. Let me ask you this, Tyler. Do you think TJ Dillashaw is the best bantamweight of all time, or do you think he needs to beat Cruz to claim that title?
Yeah, I don't see how you can call yourself the best bantamweight until you beat the guy who kind of ran through everyone in there, right? Like, with the exception of Cody Garbrandt, like Dominic made everyone look silly at that weight for a really long time. He's just also got that awful habit of getting hurt constantly. You know, he's always on the mend. He's always hurt. But when he's healthy, there's no one better than Dominic.
Well, who did you have in the first fight between Dillashaw and Cruz? I mean, it was razor thin decision, and the judges aren't always the best in MMA, unfortunately, and the 10-9 must system probably needs to go away, and they need to figure something else out. But knowing it was a close decision, still, I had Dillashaw winning that fight, not Cruz. How about yourself?
I lean towards Cruz, but I don't think you're wrong. I just look at it, and I think maybe I'm so enamored by how slick Cruz is, and so I'm always sort of defending him, but I had Cruz winning it. And, you know, it's the sort of fight where I'm like, yeah, it's Dominic, but if you told me Dillashaw won, I wouldn't be hurt. That's the way I sort of envisioned it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Either way would have been – I could have seen the decision going either way. It was really that close. And two guys that are basically using the exact same style on each other, and it's unique just to those two. Nobody else really patterns their game after that Cruz footwork, which I think they should. I think people see it as a little rep. Maybe it is. Gosh, I had a call coming in for Ryan for my birthday. I hope that didn't, like, the ring didn't come on the podcast. That'll be interesting. I'll listen to it on the replay. But, you know, I'm surprised more people don't use that style of a lot of angles and a lot of other things. The Mighty Mouse and the Henry Cejudo fight. Did you get a chance to catch that one?
Yeah, it was the bar was at, the signal was going in and out for whatever reason. I think it was raining really hard in Miami at the time.
Yeah.
I, you know, like, as I'm watching it, I had Cejudo winning it. Never in a million years did I have him winning going in. But as you watch, you're like, all right, well, he's faster. He's getting to the punch. He's getting some takedowns, or at least, like, causing problems there. Like, I said to myself, like, yeah, this is Henry's fight. He won. This is weird.
Were you worried about his ankle in the first round? Did you see that? Like, how his ankle was kind of like turning on him, and it looked like he had potentially broken his foot or something like that. Did you catch that in the first round? Did you see that?
You know, I didn't really notice it because he just kept going to. It didn't seem to really slow him down in the sense that, like, he wasn't able to get off what he really wanted to. Like, it could have just been one of those weird things where, you know, you roll an ankle and it hurts for a few seconds and then you're back to fine. That's kind of how I perceived it.
Yeah. So, I don't know if you read up on it or not, but evidently what happened was Mighty Mouse hit him with a calf kick of some sort. And I didn't see the kick, right? So I missed that. I definitely saw his ankle, though. The first time he kind of rolled it over and it looked like it was limp, I was like, oh, no, he broke his foot. This is over. Like, the ref's going to see it and stop it. And after the fight, Henry Cejudo was telling everyone in the interview that it was a calf kick and that his foot went basically numb. So it was like your foot was asleep. And that's why he kept stepping on it weird and his footwork was off. And he said he switched to southpaw to where he could just kind of keep it still and just move his front foot a little bit. And he said that gave it the time to kind of like regain the feeling in it a little bit. But he said that almost last 3.5 minutes, he didn't have feeling in his left foot. I believe it was his left foot. Yeah, left foot. So I thought the fight was over there. And I gave Mighty Mouse the first round, but a lot of other people thought the fight was really close. I had Cejudo winning every round after that. How about you? How did you score the fight round-wise? Did you have it 3-2, 4-1? What'd you have it for Cejudo?
4-1. That's 4-1. I thought Henry kind of ran through him after that. Like, not in the, you know, like 10-8 sense, but every round I was like, all right, that's Henry. That's Henry. Like, he's just doing better consistently, you know, and I know that's an oversimplification, but I just thought he formed Mighty Mouse in every single little which way, which is unusual because normally we see Mighty Mouse go in there and just crush people, right? Like, just run through them. Like, whatever I want to do, I'm doing tonight. And he just couldn't get anything.
Isn't it kind of odd, though, that that's the – I agree with you. I think that's the – what everybody – But I think that's, you know, it's not that long ago that, you know, he was going to decision every time. They were putting him on the Fox card and all that stuff. It's only recently since, I think, the armbar when he took him down and knocking out Joseph Benavidez that he kind of has that reputation of being a little bit more of a killer. So I thought Mighty Mouse was just – it was a lackluster performance. I hate to say that because he was still being very dynamic. His scrambles were incredible. There was so much skill. And it's always a pleasure to watch Mighty Mouse because he's got so much talent. But it, something just seemed a little off to me. Like, that might have been Henry Cejudo disrupting the flow. But, you know, a rhythmic sport. And, you know, it follows certain rhythms. And I never felt like Demetrius really got into his rhythm of what he was trying to accomplish. I felt like he was reacting a little bit too much. And I felt like he wasn't implementing his own will and his own game. Is that fair to say, you think?
Yeah, and sometimes it just happens, right? Like, you see that in every sport, guys just go out there and they don't have a good night. And it's a little different in, like, basketball where you have a 3 to 5 game series, 7 game series, whatever. Like, those kind of sports, yeah. Like, you can have a bad night, it's not the end of the world. But, like, in MMA, like, you're having a bad night, you get put to sleep. And it just seemed like it was one of those things where he wasn't firing on all cylinders. Now, there's also the fact that Henry Cejudo is like a generational athlete. People forget about this. The guy was good enough to go to the Olympic Training Center for wrestling right out of high school. Like, that's
he's the only gold medalist. Is that right? Or did Cormier win gold?
Straight out of high school?
No, I just mean in the UFC. Is he the only gold medal winning athlete, or did Cormier win gold as well?
No. Cormier, he did not win gold. I don't believe he medaled.
Did Yoel Romero win gold?
Bronze. He was a bronze medalist, but Yoel Romero's tricky. Yoel Romero's a really good example of why Olympic wrestling results isn't always the most indicative of how great you are in total. Because Yoel Romero just murdered everyone for years on the international stretch. Like, all the world championships, Pan Ams, he was just running through people. And, you know, he had a tough draw in the Olympics, and I believe he still ended up with a bronze, or may have been a silver, but, you know, like, there was no one that was around there like, yeah, you know, whatever. But if you talked about guys at his weight class for years who were top two, top three, like, he was there. So,
yeah,
you know, whereas we've seen other guys go out, make a run at a gold medal, and just have a really good draw and really good bracket placement, and
it works out.
Yeah, you know, that's something they had to fix in the Olympics pretty recently, is just giving great wrestlers crappy draws. So, sorry, that's my rant about Olympic wrestling. I think it's got problems.
No, that's fair.
But
if I want to touch on Daniel Cormier for a second, we just mentioned him. What's your thoughts on Daniel Cormier holding two belts at one time, being that one of them really isn't legit? He never beat John Jones. He never won it. Do you look at him as a simultaneous two belt holder because he still accomplished it? Or do you feel like it's a little bit like not as legitimate because he never beat John?
Man, John did this to himself. Yeah, I do. Yes, he lost twice to John Jones, and we all know that. And in a convincing manner, both times to me. But destroyed everyone else he's ever that isn't named John Jones. And
yeah,
at 205, he's not the same fighter. Never has been. You know, early heavyweight Cormier was the scariest man in the world. And then he cut to 205, which is not his natural weight. And, you know, it's going to be really difficult for him. And the only guy that ever gave him problems is someone that's tested positive for some kind of performance enhancer, like, right after. And also had a ton of rumors about that surrounding him in the lead up to both fights. Let's not pretend like Jones pissing hot was a surprise. It wasn't. you know, do what you will with that. But he went out there and he beat Stipe. He's beaten everyone I believe he's ever fought at heavyweight, and he's made them look silly. He's made legends at 205 look silly, despite the fact that he's got to cut a ton of weight. You know, like,
do you think Cormier's is he? If you had to do Mount Rushmore of you, I'm just talking UFC, not total MMA, not to discredit his Strikeforce accomplishments, which, you know, every time they do announcements for UFC at the beginning, they will, every company they bought out where guys had fights, they'll acknowledge those belts, you know, WEC, Strikeforce, for example. But is Cormier on the Mount Rushmore of UFC fighters all time? Would you put him there?
Probably not. I mean,
see, I wouldn't either, but he's one of two guys that have the only two guys that have won, held two belts at the same time in two different weight classes. And overall, only GSP, Penn, and Randy Couture, the other guys, if I'm missing somebody, correct me, but those are the only other guys that have ever won two belts in different weight classes at any point in time, correct? So he's in a company of only five guys.
Yeah, let's see, him, GSP, Randy, Connor,
and BJ Penn. That's it, I think. Vitor never won heavyweight.
Vitor never won.
I don't think. Or no, he won, never won light heavyweight. No, he maybe Vitor. I don't know if Vitor ever won the heavyweight title.
Nah, he didn't. He was at that weird light heavyweight thing.
Yeah. He had the light heavyweight belt because Randy took it from him. I know he had one, but so still, I mean, you know, that's top five company in terms of accomplishment. And it's weird, but I agree with you. I wouldn't put him on the Mount Rushmore either. I probably would if he came back and beat John Jones.
I mean, if you asked me, you know, is he top four most dominant, I would say yeah. Yeah, I mean, in terms of guys who have just gone out there and crushed it, yeah, he's got to be up there.
Well, what do you have? You got Anderson, GSP, John Jones, and then you'd, what, put him fourth probably?
Yeah, I think that's probably the way you go with that. There was a stretch with Jose Aldo.
I was thinking him too.
You know, yeah. That like really miraculous stretch where he was in WEC and then they just sort of made him the champion.
Yeah.
Like that run with Jose Aldo.
Got knocked out in 13 seconds though.
The famous like double flying knee of Cub Swanson.
yeah, that was great.
That was really good. You have to mention Ronda, although if you really know a lot about MMA when you're watching Ronda, you're like, oh no, these other girls just aren't good.
Well, that and we always knew about Cyborg. Yeah. I don't know how many times I had to tell people that baddest woman on the planet thing was just such a lie. I mean, Cyborg was always floating out there and would have killed Ronda any point in time that they went down.
100%. 100%. Ronda is someone who went out there and made a ton of money by being 10 pounds lighter than Cyborg at any given time. And I'm not mad at her for it, but yeah, Cyborg was way better. Gosh, now that I got to consider Cyborg. I would say
Cyborg would be a good fight for most featherweights in the male division, I feel like. But hey, I don't want to get stuck too long there, and I don't want to keep you too long. I do want to get to that fact or fiction segment. But I want to talk about, you know, the elephant in the room. You know, I'm a big hype guy, but anytime you're talking MMA, you know, Conor McGregor's name's coming up. What are your don't give away who you think will win, because I'm gonna come to that in the fact or fiction segment. But where are you in terms of excitement level for the Conor McGregor Khabib fight, which is coming up on October 6th? And what are your general overall thoughts on that match?
I'd say I'm at an 8 right now. I'll definitely be to a 10 by the time it rolls around. I think it's surprising they made the fight. I would have never thought that they would have put Conor in there with a guy who is such a matchup nightmare and kind of a PR nightmare, and that, you know, English ain't exactly his first language. The UFC does not have a good history with guys from other countries who aren't Anderson Silva.
I agree with you, but also somewhat disagree, because Khabib's not going to be able to talk at all, and that just means more airtime for Conor, which works perfectly. You know, so I understand that the PR nightmare, but I think they're totally going to sell on Khabib's record and just how unbeatable he is. I think that's what they're going to try and sell everything on.
See, I don't think we're going to get that. If I had to guess, we're going to get a lot of what happened with
the bus incident.
We'll get a lot of the bus, but we're going to get a lot of Conor McGregor coming back after going, you know, toe-to-toe with Floyd Mayweather. We're going to get 58 seconds out of a minute of promo on Conor McGregor and then a little bit of Khabib. And, you know, that's
just him with a white afro weighing in.
Exactly. Because the average consumer.
Have you seen the first promo video? They've already
cut
it. They cut it this past Monday. So the whole thing is about the Conor throwing the dolly through the bus. I mean, it just shows him running through the hotel or wherever they were and then grabbing the dolly, throwing it through the window. Camera switches to the camera that was inside the bus, seeing the window get smashed. And then it's something about Khabib wanting to fight him and the Artem Lobov thing. And it was the most disgusting. What did Dana White say? The most disgusting act an athlete had ever done in the UFC. And then they turn around like 2 months later and they're using it as the buildup for the promo. I mean, I just think that's such a joke.
I mean, it's a business. I get it. Dana White doesn't really care about any of that stuff. He cares far more about making money.
It seems like since they sold, though, that it's really moved more towards a WWE, like, mixed with UFC landscape. And I'm not talking about CM Punk coming over. Good God, that was awful. But you know, like, it really seems like they're chasing the money fights now with all these interim belts. I don't know that that's maybe necessarily a good play. I think that'll balance out a little bit when they sign on with ESPN because that'll kind of legitimize it in a lot of people's view that don't watch it. But yeah, so you said an 8 for the McGregor-Nurmagomedov fight, maybe pushing towards a 10 around the time of the fight.
Yeah, I think by the time that one comes around, we'll all have seen some video packages. And, you know, I think the fact that we joke openly about me wearing a single in public lets people know how I feel about good wrestlers in general. So
probably nobody knows what a singlet is, probably even after the explanation.
Fair enough. Well, I have an unabashed passion for frustrating wrestlers who fans tend to hate. You know, everyone's going to be watching Conor McGregor promos. I'm going to be watching old Khabib wrestling YouTube highlights. So yeah, by October, I'm going to be really excited for that one. I'm going to want to be in a bar surrounded by a bunch of people watching.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, there's going to be a lot of, I mean, everybody's gonna be pulling for Conor. I mean, only the diehard fans that are tired of Conor or didn't like him taking all that time off are going to want to see him get smashed. I don't think he's alienated people really enough yet. Let me ask you two more real quick UFC questions or MMA questions, and we'll go on to our fact or fiction segment. I want to know what other fight other than the Conor McGregor Khabib fight are you most looking forward to? Is it the Nate Diaz Poirier fight coming up soon? Is it potentially Cormier Lesnar? Is it GSP maybe fighting somebody soon? What is it, the Bellator Grand Prix, the welterweight Grand Prix, which is loaded and has MVP versus Paul Daly? What fight are you most looking forward to coming up, just you personally?
If it's not Cormier Lesnar, which, I mean, admittedly part of that is just because I want to see if Cormier can slam Lesnar. It's MVP Paul Daly. Those are two guys that really, really hate each other. And, man, Paul Daly is so overrated now. He's trafficking on what he used to be. But MVP is, like, he's Anderson Silva Jr., and that's a frustrating cliche to toss around. But he makes guys look so silly in Bellator. He makes them look so silly. And Paul Daly couldn't wrestle his way out of a box. So he's definitely not going to do any of the things he would need to do to win that fight. And Paul Daly's slow. At this point, he's got like two punches he can actually really throw to knock you out. And
left hook and left hook.
Exactly. maybe a left hook and like an uppercut on the back end if he's having a good day. But no, like he's got one hand that still works, and MVP is just going to walk straight through him. He's going to piece him up. It's going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be a lot of smack talking, and like Paul Daly might just get put to sleep, or worse, he'll just get embarrassed for 15 minutes over and over and over while MVP jabs him from 16 different angles. Like, that's what I'm hyped.
How much would you love if MVP came over to the league and they matched him and Anderson Silva? Would that make you happy?
God, no. No, because that's the sort of thing where MVP like talks about how much deference he has to Silva and how great he is. And instead we end up wasting time with like a really boring fight because Anderson Silva's old.
And they both would probably just circle each other a ton. But speaking of Anderson Silva and the fact that he's been busted the last couple times for the sauce, being on the super sauce, I want to ask you my last MMA question for you, and it's a fun one. This is one I've been waiting to ask you since we started talking, is who is your favorite sauced-up version of a fighter? Your favorite fighter on the juice?
Man.
Is it TRT Vitor? Is it anytime Brock Lesnar? Is it, you know, who's your favorite most notorious juiced up fighter?
I mean, how can it not be Vanderlei?
Oh yeah, that's a good
right. One. Like you could just see it, right?
Pride Vanderlei, yeah. When his traps were coming up to his.
Most people are going to come out and say Alistair, and that's a touchy subject for me. But like, even assuming all that stuff, like. Pride Vanderlei Silva was a sight to behold because he wasn't even that big. He was like 5'10", but he looked mean. And
he was the tattoo on the back of his head and that little spinning Muay Thai dance he did, and he with the hands when he's like, you know, like doing the little hands back and forth. I wouldn't want any part of that.
No, he just looks so mean. Those knees that sent Rampage through the ropes, just fighting way above what his weight class should have been just because whatever, they'll pay me, I'll go fight anyone. He's a really good example of just, man, just mean and violent. And, yeah, that's probably
– you know they're talking about running that back. They're talking about running Rampage and Vanderlei back. Because
people keep paying money to see fights we've already seen. Like, if they want to do that,
it's fine. It might already be signed on, man. I think it's, like, only a couple months away, actually. It might even be before the Sun and Fedor fight in Bellator.
I'd be more interested in Sun and Fedor. I mean, again, Sun and Fedor are two guys who are long past their prime. But that's just an interesting matchup in terms of two really good grapplers, and I want to see how that goes. But yeah, man, God.
I didn't have this written down, but who do you have in the, if they make it happen, in the senior citizens fight between Chuck and Tito, the third
one? Oh, Tito. 100%.
Yeah, I know, right? It's sad that he's probably going to murder Chuck. Like, I was for Tito in the first couple, and you know that. You used to give me a hard time for pulling for Tito, and I understand that now because he's an idiot. But it would be awesome if Chuck could just catch him with something and do that Iceman thing at the end, like his little celebration.
It would be. I have serious questions. Not they'll actually license that fight because, you know, people make all the jokes about Chuck being punch drunk, and
he is.
Yeah, I mean, he absolutely. But
you hear him talk; it's scary. I mean,
he's got to pass the physicals to get cleared, and It wouldn't surprise me if he, or frankly, Tito's had about 100 back surgeries. Who's clearing that guy to fight? You know, I'm sure they'll find some doctor somewhere willing to let these guys do it, but I hope not. That's not okay. And it's
but Bellator, I mean, Bellator's letting the boys juice. I mean, why do you think Lyoto went over there? He's about to come back. Like, he'll be in his prime here in about two cycles. You know, there's all kinds of guys Bellator doesn't have USADA breathing down their neck. There's a lot of things that you can kind of get away with over there, especially getting a suspect doctor to approve somebody that's going to get you, I don't know, a million pay-per-view buys or something like that. I mean, people are going to buy that.
100%.
All right, man. Hey, so let's do everybody America's favorite game, fact or fiction. Since this is fun facts, we want to try and stay with the theme a little bit. I know we got on MMA for a while, which is always good to hear your opinion on MMA. You know so much about it, and with your background, I feel like I always learn something when I talk MMA with you, because you come from your own perspective and original angles. But so basically what I'm going to do with this fact or fiction segment, we're going to run through it kind of not rapid fire, but it's going to be pretty fast. I'm just going to give you a statement or a question, and you will say fact or fiction.
Okay.
All right. You ready to go?
Let's do this.
Okay. Conor McGregor will knock out Khabib Nurmagomedov.
Fiction.
USA will qualify for the next World Cup in soccer.
Fact.
Tom Brady will play in all 16 games this season for the Patriots.
Oh, fact.
Saquon Barkley will win Offensive Rookie of the
Fiction.
Year. Oh, come on, Tyler. I almost want to stop the second.
I mean, if you want, if you want the qualifier, I'll give it to you.
Did you see his first run? Did you see his first run? All right, I'm going to move on. I'm going to move on. I'm upset. I'll get over it. I'm in my feelings right now. Okay, Miami will beat Florida State in football.
Oh, fact.
Brock Lesnar will pass his drug test and fight Cormier in January.
Oh, it's two different questions. I'll go with fact, because the emphasis is on the first question. It wouldn't shock me if one or both of them got hurt and the fight got pushed back.
Wouldn't shock me if they pushed it to February and paired it with Super Bowl weekend.
Yeah.
I could see that happen.
Yeah.
You know, it's only a month away. So I agree with you, though. He'll pass. Trust me. He'll pass. They'll make sure he passes. You know, he's already been tested four times, not to get off track, and already passed all of them. It's just like, yeah, right. Come on.
Right.
All right, your next question. Should the Major League Baseball schedule of 162 games be cut in half?
Yes, never going to happen, but yeah, that's a fact.
Okay. LeBron is better than Michael Jordan. Fact or fiction?
I mean, better and greater have kind of two different connotations, right? Like, name a situation where you're going to take Jordan over LeBron in a pick'em game.
I'm giving you better.
Yeah. Yeah, you can play all five spots.
Okay. So, fact on LeBron. Okay. Wrestling is the most important mixed martial arts base.
Yeah, fact. Easy.
Eli Manning is a good quarterback.
Oh, fiction.
GSP will fight again.
Oh, fact. Yeah. Got one more payday in them.
UFC and ESPN teaming up is a good thing.
I think that's a fact. Yeah, I'll go with fact.
Okay. Closing out, last three are NFL questions. I'm going to give you a team and give you the win total, and you're going to tell me whether it's fact or fiction. The Panthers will win more than 11 games.
Fiction.
The Giants will win more than 7 games.
Fact, terrible division.
The Vikings will win more than 11 games.
Fact.
All right. Hey, man, that's all I got for you, Tyler. Always great to catch up with you, man. I really appreciate you taking the time out to talk a little MMA. Maybe we try and touch base after the Conor and Khabib fight and do a little UFC podcast on that. Does that sound all
100%.
Right? 100%. All right, man. Hey, always good talking to you. One of my best friends. Thank you so much for your time, man. Take care, buddy.
All right, sir. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks, bud.
All right. The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app. Free for iOS and Android.